Right now we're talking to Dan Israel. He's a musician from St. Louis Park, Minnesota, and he has a new album out here called Social Media Anxiety Disorder. There's a release party for that October 4th. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you, Will.
I got to ask, you know, the title is something that I'm sure is going to resonate with anyone who just reads it. So what made you come up with this title and this theme to this record?
So, you know, our lives are kind of dominated by our phones and social media these days, and it's not necessarily a good thing. And I guess in the course, you know, the album is, it's not a theme album necessarily. It's not a concept album. Mm-hmm. It's not all of the songs pertain to that, but that was sort of a running thing in the background as I was writing and recording these songs, just sort of feeling like often this is like controlling our lives, or we allow it to control our lives. It dominates the narrative of everything. We have a president who uses it to, not necessarily in the best ways a lot of the times. And just our whole society is just kind of revolving around this kind of craziness that is like 24/7 never-ending scroll of commentary and posting. And I participate in it. I'm not trying to be holier than thou and say I mean, I'm actually kind of saying with the title that I sort of suffer from this disorder.
Right. No,
myself. I'm not really making fun of it as much as just offering some comments on the times we seem to be in, and why, you know, it seems counter a lot of the time to creativity, to everything good, you know, to art. And I found myself having to get away from it in order to be creative, right. not immersed in it.
Do you feel,
which is hard to do?
Yeah. Do you feel like you get kind of if you remove yourself from it, do you feel that anxiety? Like I should be checking up on things and stuff?
Yeah.
Because that's
so
what it was to me.
Constant need to check it all the time. You know, I think we all kind of do, and it's strange too. There's times where I 15 minutes, half hour doing something else, and it's like I'm catching up on so many things in that tiny bit of time. What I'm supposed to be, you know, aware of, and people are, everyone's like hyper informed, right? Mm-hmm. But are we better for it? Is it helping anything? Or is it just constant stream of things that you're supposed to know about and be up on so that you can converse with other people? It feels like a lot of pressure, a lot of time. Everything feels like a lot of pressure. It feels like a lot of financial pressures in my life, you know, just everything seems so expensive and everything seems so difficult. And it's like music is, you know, a way for me to get away from all of that. But then I have to use those tools to promote my music.
That was going to be my next question. That's a conundrum there. That's a paradox.
It's a real conundrum. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Because I'm mostly a one person show. I don't have a record label. I don't have a manager. I don't have a booking agent, a regular booking agent. I hire a publicist for, you know, certain things, but I do a ton of my own publicity and my own booking and promotion and everything. And yeah, I absolutely have to use Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I mean, sometimes I use all, I say all four, because I sometimes when there's something like I really need to get out there, I post it on my regular Facebook page, I posted on my Facebook fan page, I posted on Twitter, and I posted on Instagram in like a matter of a minute. You know, so talk about contradictory. You know, I'm using those things constantly to get the word out about things and to kind of keep myself relevant, but it's like I hate them too.
Right. It's like you said, like it's just the one guy, you don't have much of a choice nowadays.
You don't have much choice. No. And you know, I remember back, you know, I've been in this long enough to remember long before this was the case.
How did you used to do it? How did that work?
Yeah, well, so we used to put up posters, which I still do sometimes. We used to have postcards that we sent in the mail to fans. You know, I started doing this in the 90s, so that was how we let people know about shows. We sent little postcards out in the mail. And then, you know, when email started to take off, then I developed an email list, which I still have an email list. It's like, it's a decrepit email list in terms of, I get like 50 bounce backs on, or, you know, 50 is an understatement. I have a lot of obsolete email addresses.
Probably
on my
20
list.
Years ago.
I do not have a good method. I'm not even going to tell you how I do it because it's embarrassing. Like, I don't use MailChimp. I actually have a little way of doing my email list, and I still do it, but I'm really hesitant to send them out because I get so many bounce backs from dead email addresses every time.
Yeah.
And it just, like, I kept that email list because it was, there are still people who are not on social media, or it still has an impact, you know. People look at that beyond, sometimes the social media posts get ignored or whatever. But I think that people feel barraged, and I feel barraged. So it's like, I feel bad adding to the barrage, but it's my only way of getting the word out, you know? So it's definitely a dilemma. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that this isn't exactly a concept album, but some of the titles on this kind of go along with that same feeling. I just can't take it. Still, yep. Lost and tired. I really like Just Can't Take It. That's a little bit different from some of your other stuff here. It's kind of more electronic. I thought it was a pretty cool song.
Yeah, thank you. It started out as just like an acoustic song. And I worked with a couple producers on this album, John Herkert and Steve Price. And like, John Herkert, we spent so much time trying to like come up with some different arrangements for things. And at first I was really like taken aback by the way that song sounded. Like, it's got like a Moog synthesizer and some, right, it sounds pretty like 80s synth, yeah, part of it. But now I really love it. And so I'm kind of glad he pushed me a bit to go out of my comfort zone. And it's not really that far out of my comfort zone. I grew up in the 80s. I actually love a lot of that music, but I just hadn't really incorporated that kind of sound into my music over the years until now.
Right. Were you in St. Louis Park in the 80s and in the Twin Cities when Replacements and all that was happening?
I was, but I was too young. I mean, okay. I not too young to know about them, but pretty much too young to go out and see them.
Okay.
But I had a band, one of my first bands, the bass player was really into punk rock, and he was into the Replacements, and he would tell me, and he would play me, he played me Let It Be album when it came out in Tim. And so I actually was familiar with, I wasn't quite old enough, or maybe I could have gone out, but I wasn't in the mode yet to going out to clubs.
Right.
But I definitely was aware of it at the time, and I loved a lot of it, actually. So, and I still do. I know Slim Dunlap pretty well, and then this is kind of interesting because in the making of this new album, one day I was going out to the studio, and it was in my neighborhood, and I knew he lived near me, but I didn't really, I'd never seen him, but I was at a stoplight, and Paul Westerberg was right next to me, and I rolled down the window, and I said hi to him, and I introduced myself, and he was really nice, actually.
Oh, good.
So he was,
that's
on good.
He didn't, like, gun it and go through the lighter.
No. But it was just interesting that happened while I was on my way to making this album. It actually kind of, it was a big deal for me. I'd never met him, and I had a good interaction with him, and I don't know. It kind of felt like it lent something special to the record, even cool. if it didn't mean that much to him. But
some spiritual support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan Israel is my guest right now on the Scenic Route. We're talking about his new album, Social Media Anxiety Disorder. And there's a release show coming up for this, right?
Yes. Friday, October 4th at the Hook and Ladders Mission Room. There's a little smaller room at the Hook and Ladder in Minneapolis that they just opened earlier this year. I'm hoping it'll sell out. I think it might. Yeah. We'll see how many fans I have. And Katie Vernon is opening. She's great.
Yeah, and she had one come out, I think a new record
just
come out earlier this year.
Yeah, Stude of Hearts, really good album, just came out earlier this year. She's playing solo, and then we're playing full band plus, like, guests. We have, like, two keyboard players, two guitar players, plus me, and, you know, trumpet player for some songs and some guest singers. I mean, it's going to be a big to-do, so
right.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it looks like you got a lot of good support on the record. I mean, Jeremy Ilversocker, I think he's on every record that comes out of the Twin Cities.
He seems to be. I grew up with him, actually.
Really?
He's from St. Louis Park, and we were in jazz lab class together in high school. And I have to tell you, at age 13, he was already amazing on guitar. So it doesn't surprise me. None of this surprises me, but he's always been talented. And, people like Steve Brancic, Peter Anderson, Janie Winterbauer, my drummer, my regular drummer, Dave Russ, Paul Regard, the trumpet player, There's just a John Duncan who plays with the Trailer Trash, and he played on one of my albums 20 years ago, and now he's back playing with me a little. And so, yeah, it's quite a cast. A lot, since Steve Price is in the suburbs, it ended up being like 3/5 of the suburbs sort of were on my album. So
that's awesome.
Something like that. If they're divided into fifths, I'm not sure. A lot of them.
Now, when you're writing songs, are you someone who kind of writes a lot and then throws a lot out, or really kind of edits and perfects a couple that you have? Or how does that work for you?
Kind of both. I mean, it really depends. But I have these little digital recorders that I use. I used to use cassette tapes, and now I use little digital recorders, and I have, you know, hundreds of little song ideas that I go back and listen through to, and then I have notebooks with lyrics, and I try to match them up. And one song on the new album came out of a little more directly because of the second song on the album. It's called 125, and people are like, what does that mean? Why are why is it called 125? What does that lyric mean? And to be honest, what it was that I had it was song idea number 125 on my little digital recorder, and I kept going back to it. It was this kind of haunting melody that I was like determined to write a song around, but I couldn't come up with lyrics. And then I just started kind of thinking about that number. Maybe that number had some mystical significance or something. And so I sort of wrote lyrics around a number, which I had never really done before. I don't know if I ever wrote it again, but that's sort of, and then it sort of developed in song. People like the song on the new album. So people have been asking me, and I've tried to explain too that it's sort of, then the lyrics kind of took on like an anti-suicide. There's like a little bit of an anti-suicide message in there mixed in with all that. And that just kind of came out of life and seeing some tragic things happen and people struggling with depression. And so I kind of worked that in too.
That's my other, I think, top track from this one is 125. I might play out with that one from after we're done here, but yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of psychedelic too. And that's Steve Brancic on guitar playing the really cool psychedelic guitar part. He's great.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I was going to mention earlier the revisited thing on Just Can't Take It. That's straight up Beck stuff. I thought that was really cool too.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. And people who know my music might, you know, be a little surprised to hear me sort of rapping on it. I do rap a little. It's not, I don't listen to a lot of pop. I enjoy some of it sometimes, and then we just kind of came up with this idea to do sort of like a remix of the song with some rapping.
Yeah, I was going to ask before, I think this will probably be happening around the same time this airs, but you've got a Tom Petty related show coming up.
It's tomorrow. It's Friday, September 27th.
Yeah.
And, I'm really excited about that. It's the First Avenue, and I don't get to play there very often. I have, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
And we're just doing four songs, but I've just been going over them today, and I'm really excited to do that. I'm obviously a big Tom Petty fan. You can probably hear that in my music. I get the comparison. I also get the Elvis Costello comparison, but of the two, I listen to Tom Petty way more. I don't like Elvis Costello, but Tom Petty's been sort of like I saw him with Dylan and Grateful Dead when I was 14 years old at the Metrodome, which was kind of a legendarily bad concert sound wise for a lot of people, but I was on the main floor. For me, it was good, and it was a big thing in my life at the time. And actually, that was the first time I'd ever seen him, and he sort of blew away Dylan and the Dead that day. Like, it was the highlight, even though he's sort of considered the least of the three at the time. But that was a few years before Full Moon Fever and him just becoming a superstar. I mean, he was already a big star, but it was like, compared to the Grateful Dead and Dylan at the time, he was definitely seen as the third act on that bill. But then later on, nobody could call Tom Petty a third act to anyone.
That's sacrilege. It's funny because we just last week on this show, my guest was a Tom Petty cover act or tribute act.
All Tomorrow's Petty?
No, it was Free Fallin'.
Free Fallin'. There's a couple in Minnesota. Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yeah. They're good. And those songs are deceptively, there's some trickiness, even though they're sort of simple songs, to actually, you know, do them right. and get the vibe right. Petty is, I mean, I listen to him so much that it's not, it doesn't seem difficult, but there are little nuances in his songs that are sort of tricky sometimes. So if you know the songs, it's easier.
Yeah. If you're joining us right now, Dan Ezreal is my guest. He's got a new album out called Social Media Anxiety Disorder, and there's a release show for that at the Hook and Ladder on October 4th. I guess my last question is, are you going to be coming up to the Northland or Duluth anytime soon?
I am. I have a show in Duluth. I just confirmed that I'm playing Ursa Minor Brewing on Thursday, October 10th.
Cool.
And I'm doing another little radio thing in Duluth that day. And, you know, I'd like to come up to Grand Marais. So I haven't, I almost did this past summer and then it didn't quite work out, but I hope to get up there sometime because I get up on the North Shore occasionally. I've did Lutzen a couple times and been in Grand Marais, just haven't played there. So hopefully I will get there.
Yeah.
Next summer.
It'd be great to see you up here. We'll get you on the air here too.
It'd be fun.
Good.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Dan Ezreal, Social Media Anxiety Disorder. We're going to play out here with 125, Dan. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.